Hello, I'm Reverend Jason Wolford with Mission Cry with a very special update regarding a special ops program that was just completed weeks ago. You and I are seeing the global impact that Islam is having in and around the world. It's affecting places as we've seen on the television, heard on the radio, and read in the newspapers. We see what's going on in Afghanistan and Pakistan and even right here in the United States of America. But I want you to know that we serve a God who knows what's happening before it even happens. You know, just weeks ago, I was preparing for a message that I was going to be preaching, and I came across an article that was talking about the infighting that's going on Osama bin Laden's former compound. They're fighting, Muslims are having infighting on whether it should be a shrine memorial to Osama bin Laden or should it be a playground. And you know, when I read that, I got so frustrated thinking that while I rejoiced and thanked God that we had a U.S. military that went in and relieved the oppressed, defended the fatherless, and took out one of the most evilest human beings on the planet, I still was frustrated because that foundation and those walls are sitting on God's dirt. And I said, Lord, that's not Satan's compound. It's not Osama bin Laden's former compound. That's your dirt, and I want to take it back for you, God, in the name of Jesus. I said, Lord, I want to give the 500 closest homes, 2,000 Bibles that surround Osama bin Laden's compound. Then, Lord, I want to go down to Shaman in Quetta on the borders of Afghanistan and give the word of God. And I want you to know in just a minute, you're going to see how God has moved and moved miraculously. Be encouraged. We serve a God who still sits on the throne. God bless you, and thank you for letting the world hear your mission cry.
Praise God. This is Pastor Vicky from Pakistan. Yesterday night, we got Holy Bibles donated from Mission Carry. And today, we will be on our trip to distribute Bibles in Ahmedabad, Osama bin Laden compounds.
I'm Bishop Slim, and thank you so much for Bible distribution. Thank you so much, and God bless you all.
I am Pastor Amar. We are very, very thankful. You are wonderful support, and God bless you.
Thank you so much, Mission Carry. God bless you.
I am Pastor Sneek John. Thank you. God bless you. Thanks.
This is our distribution team, and we request you please continue your support. God bless you.
God bless you.
Greetings in the name of Jesus Christ. My name is Akash Ishaq, Evangelist Akash from Ahmedabad, Pakistan. And thank you so much for Mission Carry. Thank you so much. God bless you. May God give you a bundle of blessings.
So this is the compound where we are standing. This was the Osama bin Laden house where he was operated and killed. We thanks God glory. And we able to deliver a Holy Bible in this area. God bless you.
God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.
My name is Ghazal. I'm from Ahmedabad. Thank you, Mission Cry, for this Bible.
Brother and sister, this is Pastor Vicky from Pakistan. Right now we are in Chaman, and we thanks Mission Cry and Reverend Jason Wilford for their help with Bible. May God bless you. Thank you very much.
My name is Pastor Arshad John from New Hope Orphanage. I am founder and chairman New Hope Orphanage. I thank to Mission Cry for Bibles. Pastor Vicky, giving by Pastor Vicky to my all of employees in who are working in orphanage. Thank to God, and I pray for your vision and mission. God bless you.
I'm from Pakistan. Thank you very much for giving us this beautiful and gorgeous gift. It's a huge blessing for all of us. Thank you so much, Mission Cry. Thank you once again.
Good morning. How is everybody today? Good. Peachy? That's good. Marines don't use words like that. No, I'm just kidding. We do. We do. It's good to be here. Thank you so much. I know Pastor Randy's not here, but he's probably watching, and he told me I had 25 minutes, so I'm going to stick to that. Be a good steward of my time. And his time and yours. You just saw the video of what we did, Mission Cry, people like you that are a part of this ministry on the compound of Osama bin Laden. We have been back multiple times since this video has played and since we did this. We did this a couple of years ago. I know in the video it says just 2 weeks ago. We need to update that. But we've been back multiple times. Over 1,000 people have been baptized. Even the Muslims near the compound are saying that they don't understand, but the area feels different. And it feels different because people had called on the name of Jesus, and a part of him, the Holy Spirit, came to live in them. And we are seeing a move in one of the most dangerous places on the planet. Because we dare send the word of God into a place that is one of the most wickedest, most vile places. And, you know, for us as a ministry, we see wherever Satan is working overtime around the world, it's that much more that I want to go into those areas, because whatever the devil is trying to stop in those areas is going to be something good, and that's why he's focused on it. Amen? And so we've done that. Mission Cry, since 1956, nearly 70 years, we've now sent nearly $500 million worth of free Bibles and Christian books to 178 nations around the world. Now, I want you to know that the more amens I hear and the more interaction I hear, the faster I preach. And everyone said?
Amen.
Okay, so you better start getting involved here or we're going to be here all day. I don't care what Pastor Randy says at that point. So we have been able to go around the world and equip pastors, evangelists, setting up prisons, giving people the word of God absolutely for free because of people like you. And our mission, just so you know, for 70 years, we've been encouraging people just like you and you and you to bring in your extra Bibles from your homes. And then we get those, and then they go through a 7-sort process. They get packaged, boxed, palletized, and then we put them on sea containers and then send them around the world to all of our distribution points where the Word of God is freely distributed. Just a couple of years ago, we sent, actually last year, we had sent a container into Tanzania, and on that container we had some Bibles called Rescued Not Arrested, and it's a Bible specifically for people who are in prison. And so those were distributed in Tanzania, and someone from Kenya had gotten one of those Bibles, and it was a woman who was a preacher, and she had a jail ministry, and she went into the prison in Kenya and said to the non-believing prison ward, would you mind if I came in and gave some Bibles or some material? And he said, you can, but if you're going to give it, it has to be all the same, and we need 1,000 of them for the inmates, and it has to be the same Bible. Well, she had only gotten one, and so they reached out and said, do you have any more of those in Tanzania? And we said, no, because when our stuff hits the ground, they immediately distribute it, so there's no way that we have that. But our guy in Tanzania checked, and would you know, he had 999 of them that they didn't distribute. And so a man in Tanzania, dying and on morphine, heard from the Lord to take these to Kenya to get them to this woman. He gave the 1,000 Bibles. She went into the prison, gave the Bibles, and the report back was, and this is a very, very, very bad prison, murderers and such, that praise and worship broke out for 3 days straight in the prison. And these men were serving and praising God and thankful for this Bible that they got. And not only did the guy in charge of that prison say that you could continue to come in, he said that you can put a church in the prison because he had never seen anything like that. And so there's power in the Word of God. It's the only thing that doesn't return void. Money, food, clothes, titles, all of it. All of it returns void, but the Word of God doesn't. And these men that you see that I'll tell you about today as we talk about Mission Cry, and then I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to give you a little mini sermonette. You're going to hear about these men, and they're not peacekeepers, they're peacemakers. And it's very important that you understand the difference between those. In Matthew, God says, I believe in 5:9, Matthew 5:9, he says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God," not peacekeepers. And it's important for us as believers that we understand that. God has not called us to be a peacekeeper. A peacekeeper is someone that goes along to get along, someone who's not willing to confront, someone who's not willing to be a leader, not willing to be a believer and speak the truth in someone's life because they know that that brings accountability. It brings a little pressure to you. I tell people all the time, when you're a peacemaker, peacemaking isn't easy. It's messy. Right? Every pastor, every person that sits in the seat as I do at the Capitol and the State House or the White House, you name it, in churches, when you are being a peacemaker, the world will come against you because you are bringing accountability. And so remind yourselves of that today and be like these men, like these people right here, being peacemakers, going through places in Africa, in the Congo, walking through waters with boxes filled with Bibles, waters filled with crocodiles, walking through Muslim areas to distribute the Word of God. That's what a peacemaker looks like. A peacekeeper would say, you know what, I don't want to cause problems. I don't want to cause issues. We're going to, you know what I'm talking about. So it's our time in our life right now to be like these men and women across the world who are distributing the Word of God to be a peacemaker. Now, a couple of the stories that I wanted to share with you through Mission Cry was you saw Bishop Slim. Do you remember just a minute ago you saw and Pastor Vicky was introducing each of the men and he said, this is Bishop Slim. I want you to pick up this paper very quickly that's in front of you. And I want you to look at Arms Broken side, if you have that, where it says attacked. That guy that you just saw on here, Bishop Slim, a part of our Mission Cry team, just a few months ago, after delivering these Bibles and doing all that, he came out of a Bible study and he ordered a cab, which is a motorcycle. It pulled up and the guy asked Bishop Slim, "What are you doing in there?" And he said, "We're worshiping the one true God. And here's a Bible and we distribute Bibles. We're a part of a mission called Mission Cry." And the guy seemed interested. Bishop Slim got on the motorcycle. They drove off. He pulled over. And as you can see, he broke his arms in multiple places, his hands, his fingers. And he said, "You will never distribute the Word of God again." And when I met with Bishop Slim via video, he told me, as you can see him here, with metal rods shooting through his hands and arms, he said, "Reverend, as soon as I'm better, I'm going back to distributing the Word of God, because it's the only thing that will make a difference in someone's life." And I want you to think about that in your life, because each one of these chairs to the left and the right of you that are empty represents somebody going to a very real hell, right? And each of you has a testimony. You have a story of what God did and did in your life. You know, I have a testimony of being a foul-mouthed Marine who made a lot of bad decisions. But two guys, as we say, everyone's green in the Marine Corps or in the military. To differentiate, we say dark green, light green. But for the sake of the story, it was two black guys, men of men, Marines of Marines, who went out of their way to live out their life for Christ, but also invite me to church. And I went and I got baptized in an all-black church in Oceanside, California. I said, "Lord, I'll stop all this foolishness. Just bring me a wife." 2 weeks later, that Marine checked into the wrong duty station. I checked her out, and the rest was history. So that's my testimony. But the problem is we get cleaned up by God, and then we think, and I'm not talking about glorifying the past, okay? But you have a testimony that you have to share with your friends, your family, your coworkers. And that testimony is the thing that will make a difference in their life. Not how many Bible verses you've memorized, not how much that you can tell them they're doing wrong in their life, but talking about what God did in your personal life, and it'll change. It'll change them. So Our brothers and sisters around the world understand this. They understand it in Nigeria, where just last year, or 2 years ago, we got a call from our Mission Cry missionary, and he said, is there any way you could send us a box of Bibles? Because Boko Haram, Islamic Muslim terrorists, came in and killed 900 people. And he said, Pastor, the problem that we're having is that these people are being martyred and beat for a God that they can't even read about because they can't afford a Bible. And so I want you to know, through Mission Cry, we sent 90,000 copies of the Bible and Christian books into that area in Nigeria. And he said that there is a move of God in that place, that Boko Haram is not even coming back around there. And so there's power in the Word of God. I want to remind you, during COVID, we never shut down as a ministry. I had people tell me, you know, we got to follow the authority of the government, and God has placed those in authority, and they were misquoting scripture. And I said, the main authority comes from this word, and no governor, no person is going to tell me that we were going to shut down a ministry. And so have you know, during that time, while we were supposed to be closed, we sent Bibles into China, where you can't get them usually. We sent them into Hong Kong. We sent them into Burma. We sent them into places because while the world was shut down, God's house was still open, and we were distributing the Word of God. And so imagine the thousands of tens of thousands of people that were saved during that time. Isn't that powerful? I want to tell you too, we can't do what we're doing at this mission without you. We are a mission that has a paid staff of 5 people and hundreds of volunteers. When we have our audit done at the end of the year, they can't figure out how we've done the ministry that we do. We send approximately $10 million worth of Bibles and Christian books around the world every year to anywhere between 18 and 24 different countries. And so I'm thankful for Pastor Randy having us here today. I'm thankful for each of you taking time and taking that paper home, also grabbing one of our Mission Cry magazines and reading through those stories, because they're real. And the Word of God is real to me as well. And I'm going to share that with you today. So with that said, by the way, did I miss anything about the mission that I should be talking about? Oh, yeah, we have volunteers. Volunteers that look a lot like you. They come in and they have the ability to sort and box and touch things and pack them, and then you get to see on the other side in video when they open up the container and they start distributing the Word of God. And so I want to encourage you to come out. We have a movie room, popcorn, we have lions and hippos and taxidermy animals that were donated. And I tell people all the time, be careful, because Maria is a part of the mission now, and our special projects coordinator, when you take the tour, the tour and the movie are free, but the popcorn's $500 a bag. So just be careful when they offer it to you. But I would encourage you to come. People come from all over the United States to take a tour and of this place, and you'll see the power that you're having. So with that said, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the mighty name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Lord, you said that where two or more are gathered, that there you are in the midst. So we welcome you, we welcome your presence, and we thank you. God, we pray that you would take this message and use it for your glory, that you would help me preach very simple, and that you would take these words and set them on fire in the hearts of each person here. We thank you, Lord, that angels are loose, that demons are bound. Thank you for giving us those ears to hear what your Holy Spirit is saying. And Lord, through this message, I pray, Lord, that each person here and those that are watching would receive the word and the message of what it is to be a peacemaker, what it is to be a son or a daughter of the Most High God, that people would understand whose they are, and that they would be reminded of the power of your word, and that you're still in the healing business. We love you, Lord. We praise you, and we give this day to you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. In Ephesians 6, God talks about putting on the armor of God. He talks about, as a matter of fact, let's go there and we'll read that. I always have my book marked because I always get nervous that I won't be able to find it. It'll be like, how's this preacher not know where? Anyway, so it's right here. It says, put on the armor of God, Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, but above all, taking up the shield of faith, which with you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So we read that, and I don't think that we truly understand what God is talking about there. We talk about living in a world where there's a spiritual battle, right? But do we really believe it? I know that we would believe it if we could pull down the spiritual curtains in this place and around the areas we go, and we would see a very real war going on between God's angels and demons. I'm thankful that as we preach the gospel today, as Paul said, you're surrounded by a host, right? So if we could see, if we could see into the spirit realm, we would see angels standing wingtip to wingtip with their swords drawn while we're preaching the gospel. And by the way, today, Pastor Vicky, who you saw, is holding service in Pakistan. But at the front door of his church and at the back door of his church, that someone is guarding it with an AK-47 so that they don't get killed by the Muslims while they're preaching the gospel. Make no mistake about it, that this Christian flag here, where I've been to 13 different countries, is in churches and in Christian organizations. But where that flag, the American flag, doesn't fly, they don't have the freedoms that we have to sit in this church, to sit in peace, not worrying about somebody coming in to kill us. We have to be good stewards with what the Lord has given us. So Ephesians, putting on the armor of God. He says, put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the gospel shoes of peace, but above all, taking up the shield of faith and the sword, which is the word of God. I asked the Lord, Lord, how come so many people that are believers are being defeated before their time? And as I was praying, he showed me this vision. It was people like you and I, politicians, preachers, businessmen, church people. They were waking up in the morning and they were putting on their helmet of salvation and their breastplate of righteousness, their belt of truth, and the gospel shoes of peace, and pow, they were out the door. And they started going into their areas of influence, and it was just like you would see in war, in a war movie, where they were being taken out before their time. And I said, Lord, why is this happening? And he said, look closer. And I could see that they were saved, living righteous lives, peaceful lives, truthful lives. But when I looked, they didn't have the shield of faith and the sword, which is the word of God. God says that we can profess and confess him out of our mouth. Our salvation can be set. But if we're not in this word, reading the word, the only thing that doesn't return void, it's impossible to have the shield of faith and the sword, which is the word of God. This is why so many Christians are living defeated lives, or not living the life to the fullest, because they don't understand, we don't understand, I fully don't understand the importance of being in this word and letting these words leave our lips. As God says, his word never returns void. This is why God tells us that there's power in the tongue, because he says, what did Jesus say? Pray, Father, that thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He's saying this to us as believers. To speak this word, it leaves our lips, it goes, ascends to the throne room of God. He hears it because of the blood of Christ, and then it's sent back on earth to be done as it is in heaven. And I'm not saying that everything goes the way that you expect it to go in your life I'm not saying that. But we have to give God the opportunity to be involved in our life and in that prayer by fighting, by being a peacemaker, by speaking this word of God, that understanding that there's power in the spoken word. I think I'm preaching better than amens I'm hearing. I'm just saying. Okay, can I get an amen? Amen. Okay. So the shield of faith and the sword, which is the word of God. We have to keep our hearts right and our armor tight. You alluded to that earlier. That's a saying that the Lord put on my heart. You know, we put on the armor of God by getting saved and living our lives right. And then we want to keep our hearts right and armor tight. But you know what? Then we want to get a little taste of the world. And so we start to loosen up the armor just a little bit. I'm still saved. Still living a righteous life. Still living. But we start to loosen that armor, and that's where Satan can get in. And so I want to remind you today, as a believer, keep your heart right and your armor tight. God talks about that shield of faith and the sword. How does it come? God says in his word that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, of the evidence of things unseen. And he says without faith, it's impossible to please him. So, we read the word, we profess and confess, we live our lives, we read the word of God, that shield of faith is there, the sword, which is the word of God. And by the way, the shield of faith is not just there for you alone. That shield of faith is for those other brothers and sisters that you're around. There was a movie that showed 300 where the enemy was attacking, and they shot these darts, and they were coming, and all of the soldiers put up their shields, and it made a big giant dome, and all these swords were coming, or all of these arrows were coming and going through the shields, right? And at first it looked very scary, like they were going to die. Well, because they had their shields and they were all covered under this shield, they threw them off and they started laughing because the enemy couldn't get to them. And so I want to remind you today that that shield of faith that you have is not only for you, it's for your family, your grandchildren, the people that are in this world that are dying, for you to be able to speak into their life. And as I said earlier, and I'm getting ready to close, is things don't always go the way that we pray or expect. But we have to give God the opportunity to be involved. And he's involved by believing what he says in Hebrews, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we know this very real, very real. I want to show you this Bible just to remind you of the importance of the Word of God. As you know, we get thousands of Bibles that come in daily to the mission. And so I don't mean this disrespectful to the Word of God at all, but I've seen pretty much every Bible there probably is on the face of the planet. And so when my staff came in and said, Reverend, you got to look at this. You have got to look at this Bible, and this is the Bible. And I said, okay, well, I looked at it, and it's, you know, it says, you know, Holy Bible. It says genuine leather. You know, it's got gold embossed pages. And I said, yeah, it smells right. It's genuine leather, right? It's got gold embossed pages. But then I opened it, and it was empty. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, this represents the people around the world who have confessed me as their Lord, but are living defeated lives, not understanding how to be better fathers, mothers, husbands, wives, how to be under authority, how to give money, how to trust God because they don't have the word of God. And he said, and this also is an example of the Christian that has the Bible, who a majority of them smell right, a majority of them look right. Their salvation may be set, but when you look at the inside of them, they know nothing of me in fullness or how to fight the real battle because they don't know what my word has to say about the situation. And I told you things don't always go the way that we expect. When I was living and giving to God, when I gave up corporate America, when I went to Bible college, as I graduated, all hell broke loose in our life. Our daughter was diagnosed with lupus. Our 7-year-old son was diagnosed with a cancerous inoperable brain tumor, twice the size of a golf ball in the middle of his brain. And they told us at 7 months to kill our daughter because she was going to be born deformed and mentally ill. And we were living and giving and serving God, right? no secret sin. No, of course, we all mess up daily. That's why God says every day, wake up and put on the new man and the new woman, right? But with all of our perfect imperfections, we were serving the Lord. And we never, in the situation of our children, allowed the last thing to be spoken over them, something contrary to the word of God. And so when we were in the hospital, and the head kidney specialist of U of M came in, and he said, your daughter has lupus, it's a lifelong disease, and all the blood tests show that she has this. I said, well, sir, I want to remind you of another test result of blood, and that's the blood of Christ. And so I said, I understand the little t-truth that my daughter has lupus, but the greater t-truth is found in the word of God. And I, regardless of how the situation turns out, I'm going to be confessing the word of God every time you tell me something that's contrary to the word of God. And I want you to know that 5 days later, my daughter walked out of that hospital lupus free. And then 2 months later, my son was diagnosed with that brain tumor. Cancerous, inoperable. We were Make-A-Wish recipients. That's a list that you do not want to make. But as I circled that MRI while he was in there and I saw his little brown eyes, he got those from my wife, his little brown eyes, and I could tell that he was looking at me and wondering, does my dad really believe the things he preaches? And so while doctors and nurses were behind the window, I was in that MRI with this Bible saying, God, you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. That by faith, and I just was quoting the word of God out loud. And I thought, Lord, these people probably think I'm crazy. But I was in war. War. I want you to know that 2 months later, for the sake of time, there's much more to the story. But 2 months later, the doctors told us that the tumor vanished out of the middle of his brain. My son is 29 years old. He's in Budapest, in Romania, in Amsterdam, as we speak, ministering the gospel. And by the way, not only was I a Marine, my wife's a Marine, but that girl they told us to kill, we decided to have her regardless. She was born healthy. She earned the title United States Marine, and she's married with two babies. We serve a mighty God. We serve a mighty God. And in closing, I want to ask you if you... during this time with our son, and I'm okay on time. He said I got till 11:15. My wife's sign languaging me down there. So the Bible's powerful, and when our son was diagnosed, they gave us this book. So he's 29. So this is 21 years ago. They gave us this book. And it says it's a resource guide for parents of children with brain or spinal cord tumors. And my question is, can any of you tell me what's on page one of this book? You can't. And I can't tell you because I never opened this book. Never. But I opened this book. And regardless of the situation, whether we've prayed and we've seen God move the way that we expected, or maybe he moved in a different way, God is still God. But we have to give him the opportunity and the chance to show up. And should it be different, then we need to know that God has a plan. We have these subtle and so subtle, not so subtle reminders that we're not in heaven yet. We live in a fallen world where bad things happen to good people. And we have to remember this. This is not our home. But even then, no matter what you're walking through today, I want to remind you of the God it is in Thessalonians, where he says, in all things, give praise, give thanksgiving, and rejoice. And by the way, it's easy for you to be walking through a difficulty when you take your eyes off you and your situation and put it on somebody that's in a worse spot and pray for them. Because somebody always has it worse than us. And by the way, in that time, the reason that God is telling you that, to praise, rejoice, and give thanksgiving, it's because something happens. It's resetting your brain. When you're walking through a situation like that, you're like, well, Lord, at least my other child is healthy. Lord, thank you, God, my car broke down, but I got heat in my house. Lord, I might not have a meal today, but I'm going to have a meal tomorrow. what he's doing is he's resetting your brain to remind you the things that you need to be thankful for. These people make less than $75 a month. $75 a month. And they're out serving the Lord and ministering to him. The poorest of poor in this country are some of the wealthiest people. We need to start being thankful to the Lord. And for the sake of time, that's all I have for you. So I'm going to pray with you right now. Mm-hmm. Oh, I do want to give you this story. Thank you. So this is Johnny here in the middle. He's a Haitian. And we used him on our Mission Cry magazine that you'll see. He's on there. And we used it for years. And then we got this letter from a lady that said, "Dear Pastor, I basically want to tell you the boy that you've been using on your cover." And at first I thought, oh boy, what have I done? And she said, "I want you to know his name is Johnny. And because your ministry, Mission Cry, gave us Bibles, we were able to go to Haiti. And we distributed the word of God. And these three boys were saved, and Johnny got saved, and he was distributing the word of God in these villages, right, of voodoo and all of this wickedness. And he was going and being an evangelist and telling people about Jesus and reading the Bible that your ministry gave us." And she said, "And I want you to know, just a month later, he was killed in the earthquake in Haiti, where the buildings collapsed on him." And she said, "But it gives me joy to know that he had asked Jesus into his life, that he was able to read about God and be saved and be an evangelist and go and tell. And I want you to know that when you partner with this ministry, someday you're going to be in heaven where people like Johnny are going to come up to you and say, 'Thank you for the used Bible.' By the way, the average home in America has six Bibles sitting on its shelf." Not the saved home, not the Christian home. The average home has six Bibles sitting on its shelf. So the extra books that you have are going to people just like him. Just like other people that are making better fathers, mothers, husbands, wives, teaching them authority. And I leave you with this. I leave you with this. 5 years ago, we went to Belize. And we went to Belize because somebody called and said from Belize, "Is it possible for you to send a box?" I said, "Oh, that's possible. Could you send a crate?" I said, "That's possible." I said, "I can do that." Not in a bad way. I said, "This is what I can do. This is what our ministry can do. I can send a sea container." And I said, "Lord, what is it that we as a mission cannot do without a miraculous move from you?" And he said, "Send all of Belize, every home, a free Bible and Christian book." I said, "Let's do it, Lord." So would you know, we were able to send a free Bible or a Christian book for every single home in the entire country of Belize. We went and held a televised crusade that went across their entire country on their version of CNN, by the way, preaching the gospel, hearing the stories of our son. They didn't know what to do. Imagine CNN getting calls. "Hey, I just got saved, gave my life to the Lord. What do I do next?" We don't know, right? So powerful. And on that trip, we had 8 of the 27 people that were there ministering were in the military, which is a very high percent, okay? So I said, "Lord, you got people in the military on this trip. I want to be able to minister." So we were going to go to the Belize Coast Guard, minister to them, okay? So we're in country, Belize Coast Guard. We go to breakfast in the morning. We're getting ready to go onto the base. And we have a group of 8 people. Now, some of these people on this trip have never met me. They just came because of the mission. They heard about Belize. And so some of our new believers. Anyway, so we get a call, and our in-country sponsor says, "We can't go to the Belize Coast Guard. They canceled on us." And I said, "Well, that's too stinking bad." I said, "We're going." I said, "We're going to this place." I said, "God, he gave us the money. He gave us favor." I said, "I don't care if we have to show up at the front gate of that place, and I will tell them whose I am, and we're walking in that place." Those words left my lips, and in walks a guy in a suit, and our in-country sponsor says, "Reverend, that's the president of our country's son." I said, Take me over to him. He takes me over to him, and we're talking, and he introduces me, and the guy could care less. And I said, "Sir, I'm sorry." I said, he didn't do a good enough job of explaining what's going on here. I said, "Our ministry gave every single person in your country, every home, a free Bible and Christian book, which means it's going to make your dad's job easier. It's going to make better fathers, mothers, husbands, wives. It's going to teach people authority, what to do with their money. And your country is going to be blessed because of people like us and the mission that and the people that make it up. And I said, now, what can you do for me? He said, give me 1 second. Let me call the Minister of Defense. Yep. He said, okay, the Minister of Defense isn't in, but he said, let me finish my breakfast and I'll give you a personal escort to Belize Defense Force, our special forces. We get there, and guess what happens? They call me out of the van up to the front gate. I tell them whose I am, and they let us in. They gave us a platoon of their special forces. As a Marine, thoroughly not impressed. Anyway, they give us 37 guys. Their colonel comes in, and he, and I know you all don't know this because you've probably all lived perfect lives, but I do. He had that smell where alcohol is just pouring out of his pores, okay? And he's MFing and effing and saying all this as he's bringing in his people into the place, right? And he's like, you got to tell these effers how to get saved. And he's quoting scripture and all of this stuff, right? And I'm thinking, oh, my God, this guy knows the word of God. He's a backslidden believer. The 37 people sit down. And just so you know, I was going to get up to speak. I was going to do a two-minute opener. Michael Maher was going to do worship. And then each 8 of these men were going to get up and tell their testimony, and then I was going to preach. So I'm up getting ready to do the introduction. There's 37 people. Some of them are possessed, eyes looking through their eyes, heads down. Some of them are mad they got to be here. This guy's MFing people. It's chaos, okay? And so as this is happening, the Lord puts on my heart that the reason they're not listening to you, it's because they think that you're a wimp. And in the middle of that, I said, very well. Very well. I said, who are the two toughest people in this room? I said, get up and go out that door. I said, and I'm coming. And when we're done, I'm going to come back in here and I'm going to preach the gospel. Now go. Now thank God my wife will tell you I would have went. But I'm glad I didn't have to. By the time that we got done, 7 of those men stood up to ask Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior. The colonel instantly was set sober, and you couldn't even smell alcohol on him, and he rededicated his life to the Lord. And the reason that I tell you that story is because I have my perfect imperfections. And so that night, I was like, Lord, I know they're going to ask me for the secret sauce. There's times that I want to choke people out. I have my perfect imperfections. Why do you move like this in my life? And he said, it's because you understand who's you are. So, if you truly believe that you've asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, he says a part of him, the Holy Spirit, comes to live inside of you. You have royal blood pumping through your veins. You're a child of the Most High God. You're a child of the God who flung the stars into the heavens, who separated the seas, who picked up dirt and blew life into you. I call it walking with a Holy Ghost swag. I understand whose I am. That's why I walk into a place with confidence, not because of Jason Wolford, not because of Reverend Wolford, Marine Wolford, Representative Wolford. I walk in because I know whose I am. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus once again in closing, and we thank you, God, that you would help us to understand the power of your spoken word. You're still in the healing business. That you would cause us to be peacemakers, Lord. And that you would help us to realize who we are, Lord. I know you know this, Lord, but just we know that our bodies, if we could piece them out and sell them, are worth $6 million. Lord, help us to remember this. That you've created something awesome in us, Lord. We love you. We pray that you take this message that we preached and formulate it and massage it into the lives of each person here. Lord, I thank you that religious spirits, over-spiritualization is broken, God, and that a true relationship with you is formed. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for relationships that are getting ready to be broken, that you would fix those, Lord, that you would stop it. I put a stop order on that in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for today. Bless our pastor. Bless the pastor of this church, Lord, as he's gone. Let him have a wonderful time. Bless this congregation, the leadership, and the attenders, Lord, that you would move mighty in their life. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Thank you. God bless you.